My very good friend Felicia got married in December of last year. I was one of her bridesmaids, and we had a bachelorette weekend at Daytona Beach, Florida, about a month before the wedding. There were 8 of us in total. Myself, Felicia, Andrea, Lorena, Julia, Renee, Caitlin, and Brittany. We rented a house off of Airbnb that was less than a mile away from the beach. The price that we got it for was almost too good to be true. When we got there, the place wasn't what we were expecting. That's not to say it was a complete dump. It did have a charm to it, but there was just something off about it. For one, it had a basement, which is incredibly rare to find in Florida. Down in the basement, there were 2 rooms connected by an archway. There also appeared to be several rushed renovations done throughout the home. Something that struck me as odd was that there was a space under the staircase that was fenced off. It was very bizarre to be staring at a literal chain-link fence inside of a basement in Florida. But we figured it had something to do with the recent renovations and moved along. So the first day we spent shopping around town. That evening we went out for dinner, then went bar hopping afterwards. We didn't get back until around 1 a.m. We had all drank a considerable amount that night, so we didn't stay up and hang out. We just decided to call it a night and get ready for bed. Felicia and I slept in the same bed in the first section of the basement. Through the archway is where Andrea and Lorena slept. They pushed 2 twin beds together. Everyone else slept upstairs. So about 2 hours after everyone fell asleep, I randomly woke up and turned to my side, and I see the silhouette of someone moving silently past the bed towards the archway, where Lorena and Andrea were sleeping. The only thing that was providing any kind of light was from a streetlight outside coming through a small window, so I couldn't make out many details, but I could clearly see that whoever this person was wearing a baseball cap. Now, I had made the entire bridal party caps on my Cricut machine and handed them out to everyone when we first got there. So my first thought was that either Lorena or Andrea had gotten up to use the restroom, but then I thought about how strange it was that they would be wearing one of the caps I made them. Without a sound, the figure disappeared through the archway, and shortly after, I saw these brief flashes of light coming from the other room. It was almost as if someone was taking pictures. I began to internally freak out. I was thinking that someone was down there with us and was taking pictures of Andrea and Lorena while they slept. Felicia is a light sleeper, so I squeezed her hand to wake her up. As soon as her eyes opened, I whispered to her that I thought someone was in the house and that there were flashes coming from the other room. Felicia was the closest to the archway, so she got up and grabbed her phone off the dresser, which was on the far side of the basement, and peered into the other room with her cell phone. She climbed back into bed and told me that there was nobody there and that Andrea and Lorena were fast asleep. I was confused. I swear that I saw someone wearing a baseball cap walk into that room. I thought that maybe since I was in a new place, I might have been just seeing things and was overreacting. I eventually fell back asleep, and I tried to put the strange incident out of my mind and enjoy the rest of the trip. The next day we spent on the beach and even went axe throwing later on. We got back in at around 10 p.m. We popped in a movie and chilled out for the rest of that night. We all fell asleep around midnight. About an hour after I fell asleep next to Felicia in the basement, we were all woken up by a loud scream coming from the next room. We then heard Lorena shouting,
"Are you guys fucking with me?"
We got up and went into the room to see what was going on. We found out that Lorena had not been sleeping and was just lying in her bed listening to her headphones. She turns over and sees a man wearing jeans and a jacket, and of course, a baseball cap. He was apparently standing next to her bed, facing the wall, and was smiling. That's when she closed her eyes tight, and when she looked again, the man was gone. And that's when she started screaming. Everyone who was sleeping in the basement started to gather their things, and it was decided that we would all sleep upstairs. However, with all of us being thoroughly freaked out and wide awake and had to leave early the next day anyways, we decided just to get the hell out of there. And I drove the 2.5 hours back to my place that night. Later on, Felicia decided to look up the history of the house we stayed in. What was odd is that since its construction in the 1920s, it has changed owners several times over the years. Nobody ever lived there for more than 5 years at most. Felicia did inform the owner of the house what happened, but the owner just brushed it off, saying that they never heard of anyone having that kind of experience there before. But strangely, when we tried to look up the house to see if it was still available, the listing was completely gone from the website. If it had just been me who saw the man in the baseball cap, I might have been able to dismiss this whole thing. But Lorena saw him as well, and he seemed to vanish into thin air after he appeared. I'm convinced that we all experienced something paranormal at that house.
It all started this past November. I had a major job interview in Toronto at a graphic design firm. They needed me in the city for a few days, as there were 2 training sessions I had to attend along with this interview. Because I live in Niagara, about a 2-hour drive away, I decided that it would just be wise to just stay at a hotel so I wouldn't have to drive back and forth every day. About a week before the interview, I was at my boyfriend's house looking online for relatively cheap hotels that were close to the graphic design firm. He brought up that I should go on a website called Airbnb, which is an online trusted marketplace where guests can book spaces from hosts like apartments or houses. I ended up finding a woman who was going on vacation for about a week during the exact time I was supposed to be in Toronto. She was renting out her apartment for $50 a night, which I thought was very generous. I ended up giving her a call and arranged the time I would be coming over. The apartment building was very run down. The windows looked like they hadn't been cleaned in years, and the brick walls were crumbling and discolored. I took a deep breath and considered telling the woman that my interview was canceled so that I could find somewhere else to stay. But $50 a night seems so perfect compared to hundreds of dollars a night at a hotel. I decided that I would at least check out the room before making the judgment. I knocked on the old wooden door with the number 14 painted in gold and waited a few moments before the woman swung it open and greeted me with a smile. She was a lot younger than I expected, maybe in her late 20s. Her voice sounded so tired and ragged on the phone, I thought she was at least going to be 50. Her blonde hair was tied in a messy bun that paired quite perfectly with her blue tracksuit, with a small hole in the shoulder. "You made it!" she exclaimed. "Come in, come in." She gestured into the room, which I am relieved to say was very clean and welcoming. It was definitely one of those don't judge a book by its cover moments. I've always hated that saying, by the way. Heard it too often as a kid. She gave me the quickest tour of an apartment that I had ever received, briefly pointing to the kitchen, bedroom, bathroom, and hallway closet. It was a small space, but perfect for me. Her place was filled with vintage collectibles, lace, elaborate curtains, old candle holders. I was still examining my surroundings when she erupted with, "So you're all set then? I'm gonna go." I barely had any time to speak with her. She seemed to be in a huge rush. "Wait," I said, trying to catch up to her as she made her way out the door carrying a large backpack. "Is there anything I should know?" She shook her head slowly, locking eyes with me for a few moments too long. Without speaking, she left. I made myself comfortable for a little while, unpacking and fixing myself a quick snack in the kitchen. I had about 45 minutes before I had to leave for my interview. I'll skip past the details of the interview because they aren't even nearly as important as the occurrence that happened afterward. It was very late when I got back. The apartment building was pitch black except for a small light at the top of the staircase that flickered every few seconds. I used the light from my phone to make my way up the stairs to my apartment. 14. I wondered who else was living in the building. I hadn't seen anyone since I arrived. It was too quiet. It took me a few moments to find the light switch on the wall when I entered the room. From the doorway, I was able to see into the bedroom. The first thing I noticed was that a few of my clothes were sprawled over the floor. I quickly kicked off my shoes and approached the mess. I came to the conclusion that I must have been in a rush when I was getting ready for the interview and forgot to clean up. I was tired, so I had a quick shower and jumped into bed. The mattress wasn't very comfortable, but I was so exhausted that I drifted right into sleep. A loud shuffling somewhere in the apartment woke me up with a startle. I sat up and squinted my eyes to try to see through the darkness, just before I was able to lay back down to sleep, thinking it was one of my neighbors in their apartment. I saw a shape. At first, I thought it was one of the woman's elaborate curtains playing tricks on my eyes in the dark. Then it moved, just ever so slightly. The black shape was tall and lanky. It almost resembled a man, but it was just too hard to see. I inched my arm for the light switch, my heart pounding out of my chest. Just before the light flickered on, the figure fell on all fours and crawled inhumanly out of sight. "What the fuck?" I couldn't help but whisper. With the light now on, I got up and slowly made my way around the apartment, trying to find out what I just saw. But there was nothing. Absolutely nothing. Without anything else I could do, I went back to bed. There must have been a logical explanation for what had happened. It was all in my head. In the morning, I called the woman. I must have sounded so strange when I asked her if she had anyone else that lived with her that maybe could come into the room last night, not expecting me to be there. She paused for a while and then answered with no, and insisted she was busy and had to go. I proceeded with my day, going to my first training session. When I came back that night, I felt extra cautious. I brought a knife with me to bed, placing it under my pillow. I was woken up once again about 2 a.m. This time, the figure was much closer than it was the previous night. I gasped, so filled with fright that I couldn't move or scream. The figure was so skinny. Through the shadows, I could almost make out the rib cage underneath its skin. It was naked. Its face lingered in the dark except for two dark circles, where his eyes must have been. I tried to scream once again, but it came out like a loud choke. Whatever this was, it reached its finger up to its mouth with a soft shh. The sound was so haunting, it sent a shiver down my neck. Shh. Don't tell. I must have been in such a shock that I passed out, because when I woke up, it was morning. All I could do was cry. I was so confused. I had never been more scared in my life. It couldn't be real. I was brought up my whole life not to believe in such things. But what if it was actually a disfigured man? Or what if it was something I only heard of in nightmares? I shook my head to rid the craziness. I was probably having nightmares because of all the stress. I left for my second training session. When I came back to the apartment around 10 p.m., I couldn't help but linger outside the door. I stared at the large number 14 painted on the door, trying to find the courage to lift my key out of my pocket. Open it. I told myself that all I had to do was last one more night, and I'd be gone in the morning. I decided to sleep on the couch in the front room this time. This way, I was even closer to the front door, so I could hear it opening if this thing decided to greet me again. It took me a long time to fall asleep. I watched 12 a.m., 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and 3 a.m. go by on the clock. I must have dozed off because I woke up from a cold breeze. It was 3:47. I sat up on the couch to see that the window was open, making the curtains sway in the winds. As I got up to go close it, ready to call the police, I heard the soft shh behind me. I closed my eyes and started to cry. Shh. It got louder and louder. I slowly turned around to face this creature. It was crouched by the TV just a few feet away from me. It didn't move. It just kept its finger up to its lips. I feared that if I reached for my phone to call the cops, it would come straight for me. "Please," I whispered. It was all I could manage to get out. "Shh, don't tell," it said. And the scariest thing since the first time I had seen this thing was that it started to smile. It was smiling. Although it was dark, I could see the shadowed smile that hasn't left my mind in all the months that have passed. I remained completely still and stayed there for a few more minutes before it crawled back past the couch and onto the windowsill, looking at me one more time before jumping out. I jolted for my phone and called my boyfriend. I told him everything. I was surprised he even understood me because I was such a mess. Should I call the police? I asked frantically.
"The police won't believe what you were saying. It's hard for me to even comprehend. I think you need to come home. You sound sleep deprived, and I think it's making you see things."
My heart sunk. Even my own boyfriend didn't believe me. "It smiled at me," I whispered. I heard him sigh before saying goodnight and hanging up the phone. I curled myself into a ball onto the couch and attempted to sleep, but I didn't. How could I after that? As soon as the sun came up, I packed my things and bolted for the door.
I tried calling my boyfriend 6 times to tell him I was on my way home. No answer. As I opened the door, I bumped right into the woman. She was back early. I didn't even know what to tell her when she asked how my stay was. Look, I have to go. My boyfriend isn't answering his phone and I need to get home. I pushed her aside without thinking, just wanting to get to my car. Why isn't he answering? She asked with concern in her voice. I wasn't sure why she cared. I shrugged and continued down the stairs. I could see my car through the window on the bottom floor. I was so close to escaping. Did you tell? I heard her say softly from her room. You told, didn't you?